And we thank you, dear Lord, that you open a path for the message that you have in store through Pastor Sandy, dear Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Our hearts are still here, ready to receive, dear Lord, that we didn't miss a beat, dear Jesus, as you continue on through your ministry, dear Lord. Speak to him, speak through him, dear Lord, and allow us to receive today, dear Jesus. Spiritual hearts and ears open, ready to hear what you have in store. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Happy birthday, Pastor Ben.
Thank you, Pastor Sandy.
All right. You get your card? You did? Oh, really? They rotating your card. There's some funny stuff in there, Pastor Ben. I don't know if you'll laugh, but it was funny to me. So, hallelujah, praise God. I want to talk about today some things that may be kind of hard because the Lord, I was asking the Lord, you know, that whole thing last week where he had me read the whole chapter. And the Lord was letting me know that it is because judgment is so near and people have to know that I'm angry and I'm coming. Because, you know, we talk about the rapture, but we have to realize there's two parts of the rapture. There's people leaving and there's people staying.
Yeah.
And the people that are staying are in quite a bit of trouble. And they don't know the capacity of it because most of them haven't read the book of Revelation yet. Most Christians haven't read the book of Revelation yet. So I'm going to begin reading today, but I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 1. So if you can go to Romans chapter 1, that's where we're going to start today's message. When judgment comes,
amen.
I don't, you know, it's very hard. It's very hard for me to put into words what's going on and what's about to happen. It's very hard to put into words. But if you're ignoring everything that's going on, I saw somebody on the Sid Roth show today, and he was, well, it was yesterday. And he was, well, I don't have a whole lot of respect for Sid Roth's show, but just to let you know, well, the guy was talking about, he's a miracle worker, you know, Sid Roth is the miracle thing. And he see that after the corona thing passes over, there's gonna be a great revival
really?
In the land, and churches are gonna expand all over America. So the pastors got to get prepared for the congregations that are going to be coming back to the church. And I thought, okay, that's, I think that's his interpretation of the situation. I was looking at another pastor who was in the parking lot greeting all the people as they were coming in to get their vaccines. And I'm like, there's so much going on now and so much ignorance by pastors and just people. And I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm saying deception is big now. You understand?
Amen.
Because if I had 95% of all television channels, I'm telling you right now, I could do some things. You understand? I could make you believe some things that you wouldn't even thought were possible. So when you own the minds,
yep.
And when you own the minds, you can dictate what people think and how they act. And you know, I can have you wearing a mask in your car, driving around by yourself. And people looking at you like,
what is wrong with you?
What are you scared of? It's just you in there. But that's what media does. You can't blame people. A friend of ours was walking on the beach and someone yelled at him. He says, put your mask on, you spreader. And he's like, I'm taking a walk on the beach. I'm by myself. There's nobody within, you know, 50 feet of me, right? But it's the media, okay? And so that's why the 120th year begins with the words, deliver us from lies, okay? Hatzilanu from lies, okay? Because what's going on is a lie. What's going on underneath, you're not being told, but it's being set up, okay? And God knows it's being set up, and God wants you to know, take a look around all the whole world and see where you're at so that you understand that judgment is about to come, okay? It's hard to get people saved right now. And I'm watching Yorkis, one of our friends that witnessed on the street. And I'm telling you, these brothers having a hard time out there witnessing. People got all kinds of ideas about God. People don't want to believe. People yelling at them. People cursing them out. Then every now and then they'll get somebody that'll stand and listen and let them pray for them. But, you know, I'm telling you, the majority of it is, get out of my face. You don't know what you're talking about. God ain't real. What about Muhammad? What about Buddha? You trying to say because I'm a Buddhist, I'm not a Christian? Are you trying to say because of this, I'm not a Christian? And the whole big thing of street witnesses. This is why I don't street witness. Because I don't know if I'm delivered from fighting yet. Because, I mean, people coming up to him, you know, all in his face, yelling at him. I'm like, Lord, I may not be delivered enough to be street witnesses. But God bless that brother because he does it. Yokis, my brother, you are awesome. Because I don't know if I could do it. But he's out there and he's witnessing, just trying to get people saved. People call the police on him. People come out of their businesses, go walk across the street, tell them to leave the neighborhood. You're yelling too much. And Jesus said, what? If they hate me, don't be surprised if they hate you. All right? So let's read Romans chapter 1, and we're going to be in verse 18. You know, you're kind of crying while you're saying this because you really want people to get saved, right?
Right.
And you know it's going to happen, but they don't really understand that God is real and he's been orchestrating time. Here we go. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So that's the first thing. God is saying, if you walk outside and you see the sun sitting in the middle of the sky, and you say there's no God, you're a fool. If you can understand that because of that sun, all of us have life. And if you remove that sun, all of us die, plants, animals, and humans. So someone had to put it there, but put it just in a perfect position to give us life and not to burn us up.
Amen.
So somebody put it there. God says in Genesis, he created the sun and the moon and the stars. So God put it there, and the Bible says, you know, It's not like it's a big secret. You know there's a God. So he says here, because of his creation, man is without excuse. Okay? Now he says this. For though they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men, birds, animals, and reptiles. So, I don't even want to talk about the wisdom of man, because the wisdom of man is just ignorance, okay? I try to not use the word stupid, but I do like the word ignorant, because that means they just don't know, some of them.
Some of them.
Now, stupid is I know, but I'm still going to do wrong.
Yep.
So I'm going to pretend to myself they just don't know.
God bless you.
Because as a youngster, I was stupid, right? I knew, but I wanted to see, will it affect me? You understand? And you don't want to be the type of people that sit around going, I don't know if he's really going to come or not, you know? And we're going to look at some things today so that you know that God is God, so you'll know who you're ignoring, okay? Because, here, let's continue. Because, therefore, God gave them over. God said, okay, you don't want to believe in me? I sent 20 people to witness to you. You rejected them all. Your wife witnessing to you, your brother witnessing to you, your mama told you. And he says, only people you listen to are people who sin like you. So therefore, God says, I just turned them over. I just said, cool. Go your way. See you in the end, right? So it says here, therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity, for degrading of the bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Wow. And worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Hallelujah. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relationships for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned the natural relationship with women and were inflamed with lust one for another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Notice he doesn't call it love is love. He didn't say for their love, because love is not love. Some love is perversion.
Yep.
And homosexuality is a perversion. You understand?
Yeah.
God did not. I've done this thing that two men cannot produce God.
Right.
We do with the Hebrew Ish and Isha. Ish is man. Isha is female. There's one letter in each of their names that's not in the other one, and that two letters spell what? Yah, the name of God. So only man and woman can produce God. Two men, I don't want to tell you the word that produces, but it is perversion. You understand? So God is telling the world, you already know, okay? Now, let's continue this, because God got me in this other word. He said, make sure you mention this. It says, men committed indecent acts with other men and received to themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthy to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to depraved minds to do what they ought not to be done. So the Lord said, stop there and explain to them what retaining the knowledge of God is. So you get born again, but you don't want to read the word, right? Or you get born again and you start reading the word and you're starting to grow. Then you get to the point where you don't want to read the Bible anymore because it's not important to you to retain the knowledge of God. But Christianity is like working out. It takes 4 months to get in shape, 2 weeks to get out of shape.
Yeah. Amen.
You understand? So the building up process needs to be valued.
Right.
Once you build up in Christ, you don't want to take a 2 week break. You just as uninshaped as you were when you started. Now you're sore again. You got to go through that process again. God is saying, look, once you have the word of God, once you start reading it, make it important for you to retain the knowledge of God. Because they thought it not important to retain the knowledge of God, God said he gave them over. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthy to retain the knowledge of God, God gave them over to depraved mind, to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent, and the Greeks say new ways, they invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are sinless, they're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do these things, these very things, but also approve of those who practice the same things they're doing. So they encourage other people, hey man, you want a beer? Uh-huh. Hey man, you want to hit this? You understand? Not only is it bad for me, I want to make it bad for somebody else too. I want to pull you into my mess because I want you to know what alcoholism is. I want you to know what it is to be high and to open your pineal gland to demons. I want to help Satan out. So not only am I going to do the stuff myself, I'm going to get some friends that I can encourage them to also go to hell, and then we can hang out there together. Little did they know, you get your own pit in hell and you don't get to get out. So you don't even hanging out with nobody in hell.
Right.
From what I've read, everybody gets their own pit. And you ain't going next door to talk to nobody. So understand, I know some of us only been here, Pastor Ben has been here like 61 years.
That's
God, that's a long time.
This is my friend.
I'm still in my 50s, so I can say that. But some of us, look, you haven't been here long enough to know anything.
Amen.
And you weren't here when God created the world.
Amen.
So you don't know nothing. You haven't been to hell.
Amen.
So you guessing.
Right.
I don't really think it exists. Does God really care what you think? He's like, I made the place. I know it's there. I'm trying to tell you it's there.
Right.
So if you want to keep thinking, do it. I'd turn you over to a depraved mind.
Right.
Getting saved is not hard. It is not hard. It is confessing that you are a sinner and you've sinned against God, asking him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior.
Yes. Yes.
Here, let's go to Romans 10:9-10. Listen to this. Romans 10:9-10. It says, okay, I'm going to start a little before that, okay, because I want you to get this. Let's start at verse 8. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. So it says life and death is in the power of the what?
Tongue.
You can live or die by the word that you speak. You can ask God to come into your life and tell him that you've been a sinner and I can change my life in a heartbeat. With what? With my tongue.
Yeah.
So God hasn't made it hard, okay? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. When you say Jesus is Lord, that word is that Jesus, it was God in the flesh. You understand? You're not saying Jesus is an angel. Jesus was a man that came. Jesus was a good teacher. Confess with your mouth. Agree with God that God came. Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with the mouth that you confess and are saved. And the scripture says, so don't start saying, oh, how deep do I need to go down into the ocean to find Jesus? Or how high do I need to go in the sky to find Jesus? God said, I made it easy. So anybody that doesn't have Christ on judgment day is without excuse. Because you don't have to do a lot to do it. Once you do it, he puts his spirit in you, and his spirit starts correcting your attitude, your behavior. Now you don't like cursing. I never thought I'd say that. I'd curse in a second. I mean, starting at 8, because everybody's cursing around us, right? Y'all act like y'all grew up in Orange County. Look, my parents cursed, the next door neighbor's parents cursed. Everybody. And if you have something to say to somebody, you let them know. Adult came out of the house one time and told me, don't you let that little boy call you a name like that. You tell him this. And she told me what to say, and I said it, and I got a whipping. And I'm saying, Miss Glaze told me to say that. And she said, why'd she tell you to say that? What'd the boy say to you? And I told her, and she said, okay, I understand. My mother said, I understand. Go get me a beer.
Ooh. Oh.
Get me some cigarettes.
As I was.
Go to the corner store and get me some cigarettes.
As I was.
Come on back here. You should have punched him in the face. Mm-hmm. That's what you should have did. Should have said nothing. Should have punched him.
Yep.
So you train like this.
Yep.
From childhood, you are trained to be ignorant.
Yep.
Because Satan taught them to be ignorant, and they taught you to be ignorant. So now you're ignorant, and you don't know you're ignorant. You're just doing the ways of the world, and then now somebody tells you Jesus real and Jesus saves. You can give your life to him and change your fleshly habits and have life living inside of you. On the day of judgment, do you know how God is going to know you belong to him? Your spirit's going to be, his spirit's going to be in you. He's like, Jesus is coming. He's going to rapture. How does he know who to take? His spirit is in the ones that are going to be taken. So if you set yours down so you can do a little sinning and you'll put it back on later, like I always repent before I sin, right?
Right.
You're planning to repent. This is Tahira went, that don't make no sense.
Yeah.
But for some people it makes sense. I'll repent later, but I'm going to do this today. Father, forgive me for what I'm about to do.
Yeah. I've heard that.
You understand?
I've heard that.
So understand that you live in a world of deception. And life has taught you deception. Okay? If you're a drinker, life taught you that. Okay? If you use profanity, life taught you that. If you get high, life taught you that. You sleeping with somebody you don't know, life taught you that. You understand? Are you not married to? Life taught you that. You understand? But I'm going to ask you, if I'm your 7-year-old and I say, Tosh, I know you my mama, but I'm 14 and I want my girlfriend to spend the night. And I want to be able to watch whatever I want on TV and stay up as late as I feel like it. Mama, can I do that? You'll say, you better, as soon as you find your own house, you can do it.
Hmm.
Right? You get your own house, get your own job, you can go do it whatever you want. You 13, 14, you're going to do what I say because you in what?
My house.
We all heard that. We grew up with that, right?
I say it.
God is saying the same thing every day. I don't want to believe in your son. You in my house. When you build your own house and get your own air, you can do whatever you want. But you in my house.
Right.
You understand? So you don't get a choice like, okay, look, Lord, I noticed your house, but, and this was my problem, because getting saved and stopped smoking weed was like, I didn't know you had to stop smoking weed. They should have told me that. I was like, yep, somebody should have said something. I wouldn't have got baptized if I knew that. Because there's some things you're holding on to.
Right.
God was telling me, this is not your house, and you can't smoke weed in my house. So I had to like, okay, now I got to figure out a way to get rid of this, because if I do this in my parents' house, which is God, I could get whipped. But we have no respect for God, so therefore we lose it. Okay? Now, God controls the whole world. The Bible is written by God. Any man that tells you that the man wrote the Bible is a fool.
Right.
How do we know? Because there's too much evidence in the Bible that nobody could understand unless, right? So let's look at a couple of things that are in the Bible. Now, I'm not going to go to the board. I just want to say. What year was Israel rebirthed back onto the earth? 1948. What year is that in the Hebrew scriptures? In the Hebrew calendar? 5708. Why in the 5708 scripture of the Torah it says, I'm going to bring you back into your land and you will be blessed more than your fathers? So in Deuteronomy, God is already telling you, I know Israel's going to come back into the land in 1948. 1948 didn't even exist then because Jesus hadn't even come yet.
Right.
How many books are there in the Bible? 66. What's the 19th book of the Bible? Psalms. What is the 48th book going backwards from Revelation? 48, but it's the 48th book. So the 19th book going forward is Psalms. The 48th book going backwards is Psalms. In the 48th chapter, what does it talk about? The rebirth of the nation of Israel. So tell me, before Jesus is even born, we're talking about Psalms. There's no 19 anything because there's been no Jesus day. So now you're saying God already knew that Israel would be born, would be back onto the planet in 1948 in the book of Deuteronomy, and he already knew in Psalms that it would be in the, and then he placed the book where the 48th book backwards is Psalms, and the 19th book back forward is Psalms. And he puts in the 48th chapter of that book a story about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. So that means God was writing the Bible with plans of Israel returning. And church never told you about that. They just taught you about tithing and serving and being a good usher, right? When I found this out, now check this out. This is, okay, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 30. Because I used to say, you know what? Why isn't the slave trade in the Bible? Us black people have gone through so much, and God never mentioned it in the Bible. And then the white man wrote the Bible and gave it to us so he could keep us suppressed. You know why I said that? You know what? I say ignorant. You see, Nicole can say, because you were stupid, Pastor Sandy. No, I wasn't stupid. I was ignorant. Mm-hmm. I didn't know God already put the slave trade in the Bible. So if you're in Ezekiel chapter, let's go in chapter 38. Let's go in chapter 38. I mean, chapter 30, verse 8. And it says, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I have set a fire in Egypt and when all the helpers shall be destroyed. So God said he's going to bring a judgment on Egypt. In that day shall messengers go forth from me in ships to make the careless Africans afraid. Your Bible might say Ethiopians. Your Bible might say Cushites. But there was only one nation. It was called Africa. It was called the land of Cush. Okay? It was called the land of Cush. The only way you got the word Ethiopia is because the Greeks came and took over Africa, and they renamed the land Ethiopia, which means burnt-faced people. So you have to understand that here we are talking about, God is saying this in verse 9. In that day, messengers shall go forth from me. Who's me? God. You mean, God, you're responsible for the slave trade? Messengers shall go forth from me in ships to make the careless Ethiopians afraid. And great pain shall come upon them as the day of Egypt, for lo, it cometh. Go back to verse 4 and listen to what it says. The sword shall come upon Egypt, and great pain shall be upon Africa. When the slain shall fall in Egypt, and they shall take away multitudes out of her. Out of what? Out of Africa. Out of her, and her foundation will be broken. So God says, not only is he sending ships, multitudes are going to be taken out of that land, and they are going to be, and they're going to be, and judgment is going to come on them right after I deal with Egypt. In 1517, Egypt burned and was taken over. In 1526, the slave trade started 9 years later. What is nine in Hebrew judgment? Judgment. So God said, 9 years after Egypt fell, 9 years later, I'm going to send judgment against Africa. Why? Why the black people? We're such good people. No, you're not. There's none good. Because now everybody wants to wear Egyptian stuff. Oh, yeah, the Asiatic black man. And so we got, and we say, oh yeah, we started the first universities, the black man, shut up. Okay, if the Egyptians were black, then who were the Shemites? Because the Shemites were Hebrews. So that means that the black people held the Shemites in slavery for 400 years. Mistreatment and slavery for 400 years. So is it an accident that our slavery happened 400 years? Because I remember God telling Abraham, I'm going to punish the people that enslave your people. God just kept his promise.
It's true.
And to tell you the truth, our people paid a lot of pain for me to not be in Africa when I was born, and I'm glad to be in California. But I'm thankful to all of them that went through it.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful. But God was doing something else. He's trying to save a nation of ignorance that's worshiping idols and ancestry and not worshiping God. So I'm going to take you out of there, take you here, and then we're going to put the Bible back in your hand. Mm-hmm. What? What do you mean back in my hand? Because it was the black people that were mixing with the Hebrew people in the beginning, and it was the Hebrew people that gave black people the Torah. That's why the Ethiopian was reading the book of Isaiah when he met Christ, when he met the apostle. So God, we got away from that, and then Islam taught us this other religion, and then now we're so messed up that now we're worshiping the ancestors. Statues, and God says, pull them people out of there, take them to America, and put the book back in their hand. Mm-hmm. So maybe they can remember where they came from.
Wow. Amen.
But God knew that the slave trade was coming. You understand? Mm-hmm. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 25.
15 minutes, Pastor.
Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 25. When was Israel rebirthed? 1948. When did they get back Jerusalem?
67.
How many years is apart? 19 years. So do you know that God already told you in 2 Kings chapter 25 that when Israel came back into the land, they would not get Jerusalem, that they wouldn't get it back till for 19 years? God put it in this book, 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8, to let you know that that's going to be a 19-year difference between them coming back and getting the land. But God wrote it in the book of Kings. You in chapter 25? Good for you. Here it is. 25 verse 8. On the 17th day of the fifth month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, commander of the imperial guard, and the officials of the kings of Babylon came to Jerusalem. They didn't get Jerusalem back to when? 19 years later. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all the house of Jerusalem. Every important building was burned down. The whole Babylonian army, under the commander of the imperial guard, broke down the walls around Jerusalem. So when Israel came back in the land after World War II, because listen, one third of every Jew had died in the Holocaust. One third of the Godhead had died. Where? On the cross. 3 days later, Jesus resurrects and is back in the land. The Holocaust is over 1945, 46, 47, 48. 3 years later, they're back in the land. You think somebody's planning this? Mm-hmm. Yes. God is like, I'm in control of this entire planet. That's why I put in Psalms 120, Father, deliver us from lies, because that's what's going to be your cry. Deliver us out of this lie. Please let our businesses open. Please let our children go back to school. Please stop lying it to us so we can take off this mask and stop acting like there's a real pandemic killing people because you're putting mannequins on TV. If it's a real pandemic, you don't need to put a mannequin in a hospital and tell and have the news come and take a picture like you're really, you got a real dead person. And then someone took a closer picture and said, oh, they used a mannequin. And a matter of fact, that hospital ain't even in New York. That hospital's in England. But they put it on ESPN, CBS, so that you see, look how big it's getting. We need the businesses to close. And because this pandemic is getting too bad. And now, once we get the people into the perfect position, know what we need you to do now? We need you to take the cure. You ready to take the cure? Because the cure is what the world needs. Stand in line. Got your pastor out there. Got people in line. Praise the Lord. You're doing the great thing for society. Come on in, he's saying. Everybody get their little V shot. Come on in. And I'm looking at a pastor encouraging people to take this. And I'm like, have we lost our minds? But 95% of the media can either cause you to be very wise or very stupid, considering the fact where you get your information from. Because if all you do is get your information from the demonic sources that own 95% of the media, you're going to get bad information because demons lie. So anyway,
amen.
God is trying to tell you, judgment is about to drop. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, it's not because you don't know. God says, you know there's a God. You got a problem with sin. I was watching this morning. This will be my last thing, Pastor Dan. There was this young lady. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to tell you, if you're a sinner, you're sick. I want you to know you're sick. You might not even know that you're sick, but I want you to know the reason you do what you do is because your flesh is infected with a disease called sin. And there is a balm in Gilead. You understand? The balm is there is a healing for your disease.
Yes.
I was like, there's a healing for cursing? There's a healing for weed smoke? There's a healing for fornication? Because fornication cost my brother $94,000. Child support. Right? When we added it up one night, I'm like, wow. I'm like, we can get a healing from this sin sickness? Where is it? It's Jesus Christ. So I'm watching, and this young lady has two kids. One's two, and one's an infant. She leaves them in the car. She goes into the hotel, and it's hot outside. And she starts smoking crack and both the babies die in a hot car. And they're like, they went through the court thing, and they said, and the judge said, I am sentencing you to life in prison. You know what the crowd said? That's too harsh. That's too much. She didn't mean to do it. So while they were going through the court case, they was asking the mother of the young lady, did you know that your daughter had a drug problem? Yes. Did you ever offer her to get help? She said, yes. She said she went once, but she left, and then she never went back, and then she continued her drug problem. Then she got pregnant and had one kid. I kept the kid. Then she got pregnant and had another kid. I kept the kid. And she said, but she continued her drug problem. Did you ever try to help her again and tell her, you got to stop this because you have children now, and you've got to think about their safety as well? And the mother said, yes, we tried to put her in rehab, but she said no, and that she didn't want it. So the judge says, that's premeditated murder. That means you could have got help, but you didn't. And you knew what you were doing was putting your children in danger. So the judge says, premeditation, that's why I gave you life. See, I want to tell you something. You got a sin sickness. You're going to think hell is too much. You're going to be like, oh my God, hell for that? I was just sleeping around. It was consensual. Someone introduced me to homosexuality. It was the way I was born. You're going to think hell is too much, especially when you find out you can't get out. You're going to say, but the judge is going to say, you knew that there was a God. You knew there was a cure. And you denied it and said no. So not only did you harm yourself while you were living in your sin, you were harming other people. Yes. That's premeditation. Because some people won't understand, why hell? Sorry, there's only eternity. In eternity, there's only two places to go. And you can't die. Did you know that? Ask any scientist. You can't die. And there's only two places to go. So either you're going to God or you're going to the other place, but God didn't build an alternative place. And he can't get rid of you because you are matter and energy. So you got to be placed somewhere. The judgment is coming upon this world for what they do. And what they do is lie and try to destroy human beings. You think they love you because they gave you Jay-Z? You think they love you because they gave you all these rappers and all of this filth? You think they love you? That's to teach you them sin. So now you've got to say to yourself, you know what? I need to wake up and take the medicine. And once you take the medicine, retain the knowledge of God. That means once you take the medicine, you've got to realize you're still in the body, so you're still sick. Till you get a resurrected body, your body is still sick. So know what you do when your body is still sick? You're on a lifetime medication, which is the Word of God. So now you're on a lifetime medication of the Word of God. You're reading the Word. Why? Because I don't want this diabetes to hit me and then they got to cut my foot off.
Right.
Which is what happened to a friend of mine, right? You don't want to go back because the consequences are too big. But some people play with it. Some people don't want to retain the knowledge. Some people don't want to take their medicine. Some people don't want to stay in this firm relationship with the giver of life and the creator of the universe. Some people don't want to do it. God says, I made two places and you know. Whatever you do is premeditated. He says, man is without excuse. So it's easy to accept him, repent, confess that he is Lord, and accept him into your life, and the process begins, and you can be a pretty good person like Pastor Sandy. I'm not that good, but let me tell you something. I like not getting high.
Amen.
I like having one wife. I like knowing where my kids are. I like not paying child support. I like a whole lot of good things that come with holiness. You understand? There's a whole lot of good things that come with holiness.
Yes,
I like not being drunk.
Amen.
I like not having a DUI on my. I can love all this good stuff that comes with holiness. I like, because I'm living for him, that he blesses my finances so I can take care of my family. I like all the benefits that come with God. Without God, you get the opposite. Because he said, cursing follows sin. Praise God. Have a good day.
Amen.
All right.